We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast, coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at EchronWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. We're being produced today by Sarah.
Hi. You okay?
I'm good.
Okay.
Hello. And we are also joined from Arizona, I believe, at the Gila River and Resort and Casino out in Phoenix, Arizona. Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him at Vinny Duber, and you can read his latest piece at allchgo.com. You'll hear from the main subject, or one of the main subjects of that piece later on in the show, Josh Barfield. But Vinny looked into the Diamondbacks connection. We all talk about the Royals connection that Vinny's so sick of, so we went the other way. Everyone's looking the Royals way, and Vinny went the other way because he's in Arizona. It's right under your nose.
It's called zigging while everybody else zags, Sean. And, that's hopefully I grabbed a few eyeballs by not just doing the same old Royals connection story.
Well, and it's not your fault. Hey, there's also a Giants connection, and you talked to John Brebbia, and John Brebbia connected the Diamondbacks for you. So, I mean, it wasn't even – you're just writing what you hear. So follow Vinny at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. He brought us an exclusive interview with John Brebbia. John Brebbia talks about his connections with the White Sox. He talks about Chicago being a tier one city, so
not wrong.
He's A1 in our books, he also talks about the Diamondbacks and how the White Sox might be, you know, playing a little bit more like them. And then Vinny was like, "Well, hey, maybe I'll go talk to the guy who worked for the Diamondbacks." So we also have Josh Barfield sound on how the White Sox might be influenced by that Diamondbacks way. Then we're gonna break down in the most educational and informed way possible. There aren't more of an expert when it comes to city-funded projects than these three gentlemen. We are going to let you know in grave detail and break down the very, very, I would say, easy reading from Cranes that dropped on the next White Sox stadium. We'll be very brave boys and talk about that. And then finally, we'll send you into Friday and into the weekend with a rotational ranking, and we'll talk about the 16 possible names that are fighting for a spot in the White Sox rotation in 2024. Should we waste any more time? Should we get into John Brebbia?
Let's get into it.
All right. Well, here's John Brebbia's interview with Vinny Duber, our one and only Vinny Duber. And John Brebbia was asked by Vinny, you know, why'd you come to Chicago?
It's always like fun and exciting and new and different, right? Like trying to remember everyone's name and put faces with names that I'd heard before and all that stuff. So, you know, it always feels like there's a lot going on, a lot to adjust to. And on top of that, you're like still doing baseball. I think the first couple of days are always a blast because it's just like you're just overloaded and you sleep great at night. It's a lot of fun. But it's nice getting to know everyone and hearing from the coaching staff and all that stuff, like figuring out how they feel about the team and what direction they want to go and getting everyone going on what we need to work on.
What intrigued you about the White Sox?
Kind of what didn't. You know, I was familiar with some of the staff that, you know, kind of look at it a few different ways, like how, you know, what team culture I want to be a part of, how can it help me in my career, you know, like, is my family going to be happy? And I think it's hard to argue that Chicago is it's an elite level city. It's a tier one city. But I know some of the staff that was here, and I know what kind of people they are, and I know what kind of brand of baseball they like to play, and that's the kind of brand of baseball that I like to play. Like, I like to have fun, put some effort out there, do your best, and like just grind it out every day, and win as many ball games as you can. You know, play the best you can every day. And the folks that I know here are very much like that. And I thought it'd be just a really good, like, that's the direction I want to go. That'll make me better, you know, in return, which is great. But that's the type of team mentality I like to be a part of, because I think that gives you the best opportunity to do your best and then to win.
You had an existing relationship with Brian Bannister, mm-hmm. from San Francisco. What has it been like getting back with him?
Man, I love Banny. Like, what an incredible, like, to say that he's the best at what he does is an understatement. He is truly incredible, and the value that he adds to any organization is remarkable, and it's so cool that I've been able to see it firsthand for a few years, like watch the impact he's had, and it's so tangible and it's so awesome. So I love being able to be around him and be part of that again. You know, he's a big reason for a lot of really important things, which I think is great. But I've loved being able to catch up with him and say hi and stuff like that. And I, you know, there's, again, it's super busy, but there'll be more of that to come.
What are some of the specific things that he maybe helped you with or pointed you in the direction of in San Francisco?
Yeah, the most specific I'll get is just a general approach to pitching. For years, I mean, for my life, really, I've had like this kind of this specific way of doing something. And I remember meeting him the first time, and it was really it's unfair to say it's just him meeting with the whole pitching staff when I got to San Francisco, which he was a part of at the time, and seeing his thoughts on how I can simplify what I'm doing and try and, you know, hey, John, this is what you do best. Let's stick to that. Stop trying to do these things that you're terrible at over and over again. So over my years working with him there, that was like the biggest, I know it's a simple thing and it seems super obvious, but sometimes in baseball you can get it's so competitive, and I'll lose my job any day now. So there's always changes that you want to make. You always want to try and be better. So it was really nice to see him come in and be like, you do this well, keep doing this. You don't do this well, stop doing this. So I got to work with him through stuff like that over the past few years. And then, you know, being here, we're 2 days in, but again, it's like more of the same thing, which is just like, when you can simplify things, it makes it simpler, and it makes it a lot easier to you know, hopefully have success. And I think that's a vastly important and vastly underrated part of baseball.
Whether it's Pedro or Chris, you talked about kind of the vision and kind of the just kind of general feeling they're kind of to try to build around here. Mm-hmm. What kind of parts of that are kind of the most exciting for you and the guys, right?
The one specific word I heard the other day, pardon me, was aggressive baseball, and I love that. Like, as a baseball player, I like that because it's like, to me, that means high effort. That means making calculated decisions that will hopefully lead to the best result. As a fan, that's like fun. Like, I love that. And when you play aggressive baseball, sometimes things aren't going to go your way. There's 162 games. A lot of stuff's not going to go your way a lot of the time. But when you play aggressive baseball, and when you're good at it, you can't just be like, they're not going to pinch run me to steal a bag. That's way too aggressive. But when you play smart, aggressive baseball, the wins outweigh the losses. The positives outweigh the negatives so often. And it's just exciting to watch. Like, I still feel like I'm very much a baseball fan first. And I love exciting. A lot of people don't think baseball is exciting. I just happen to. And I think that makes it even more fun when you just, like, when you're swiping bags, when you're doing this, when you're doing that, it's when you're trying to take an extra base, trying to score on something. I love that. Like, that's the point. If you get hosed, sometimes you get hosed. That's fine. Someone else is happy with their team's highlight. But I think it's really cool, and I think you see a lot of benefits from it.
Pedro has brought up the Diamondbacks as a team that kind of did that last year. You've seen a lot of them over the years.
Unfortunately,
yeah. When you play that kind of style, what kind of handful does that make you for the opposing team?
I can say for sure that the past 3 years, the Diamondbacks went from, and this is no secret, but they went from being a team that wasn't like, they weren't scared. Like, they weren't this typical team where you're like, uh-oh, Diamondbacks are coming into town. Up until last year where you're like, oh, God, the Diamondbacks are coming into town. But the first couple of years playing against them as much as I did, it was just like, all right, D-backs, whatever. And then you play them and you're like, you're exhausted. You're like mentally exhausted and physically exhausted. You're like, what? What happened? Like, what? Why do I feel this way? Why am I getting such a good night's sleep after playing them? And you slowly come to realize it's like, okay, because they can do anything. Like, every facet of the game is something that they're attempting to do aggressively, to kind of bring up one of Pedro's adjectives. And when you start to see that, when you're like, okay, I guess every guy's a stolen base threat, and now all of a sudden I'm standing on the mound like, okay, and I got to pay attention to him stealing. Great. It's like, which means I got to remember our pickoff plays, which means, and they bunt a lot, and it's like, I'm doing PFPs this often. This is crazy. And it's part of the game, but it's such a rare part that when you have to put up with a team that does it so much and so well, they were very successful at it. It makes it just like, even when we won games against them, it was exhausting. And then, you know, the tides turn last year, and the Diamondbacks were just, they just took off. And you could see it, you could almost see it coming from a mile away, where it's like, well, it makes sense. Like, they've got a ton of talent, and they do everything. And it's fun, it's exciting, and it's something that this team has so much, that I think has so much potential for, that it's just like an unbeatable brand of baseball.
Stealing bags. He's got a fun, funny way of talking, John Brebbia. Vinny, what was the biggest takeaway? Was it how aggressive the Diamondbacks were and how John Brebbia lost sleep going up against the Diamondbacks?
Well, he gained sleep, I think, was the point, right? He was so tired that he gained sleep. But,
so tired.
That was the second.
Okay.
That was the second mention of getting a good night's rest. So maybe we know what John Brebbia has on his mind in terms of staying healthy and staying sharp. But no, it was great to talk to him. And I think, you know, the multiple avenues that we went down in that conversation are definitely storylines for this team. I mean, Brian Bannister, we've been talking about him every day, basically, since I've been down here, because he's been so visible working with the pitchers. And now here's a guy who's got 3 full years worth of working with him to kind of lean on that experience, and then how thrilled he is to jump back into it now that he's with the White Sox. But yeah, certainly that talk about the style of play that the White Sox hope to implement this spring, hope to be able to show off this summer. I think it's a pretty dominant storyline of this season, especially when we don't have the storyline of, will they win the division? Will they make the playoffs? Right. I mean, if it goes as we're expecting it to go, we do need to look elsewhere to determine how this team is evolving. And Pedro Grifol is very, very, thrilled is basically the word that I can come up with when it comes to implementing this new style of play that has to deal with being fast and being aggressive. And you heard it from an opponent's standpoint in John Brebbia talking about what it was like to play a team that did that really, really well last year in the Diamondbacks. Now, listen, you know, I phrased the tweet that I sent out with the link to the story that I wrote today very specifically because I didn't want to get the replies that we got to the tweet that was sent out about the story on our CHGO White Sox account, which was, can the White Sox do what the Diamondbacks did? And everybody goes, oh, no, without reading it. You know, it was like, obviously the Diamondbacks have a lot of very good players, and that's why they were able to do this. But look at this as a multi-year project that Chris Getz and the White Sox are embarking on, and looking at taking those first steps of, hey, once we try to play like that, then we can go out and get the players that we know are going to be able to do that really well. And they went out and got some guys this offseason who, excuse me, we know aren't the most successful offensive players, but they can play at least a little more of that style than the guys who were here before, perhaps. Now, again, half this team is holdovers. Half this lineup is holdovers. Are they going to be able to do anything like this? Who knows? We'll find out. But I think when you hear the kind of nightmare that the Diamondbacks caused for opposing players, you get an insight from John Brebbia into why playing that style of baseball is not just important, but effective. Because why make it easy on the opposing team, right? Why let them sit there and be comfortable in just focusing on executing pitches or just focusing on trying to, get the guy out who's at the plate? Make them think about all that different stuff, and that makes everybody's job way more difficult, and you can win in ways that aren't just, well, I sure hope that this guy hits a three-run homer because that's the only way we're built to play. Build your team in a way where you can win in a number of different ways, and certainly the Diamondbacks are the most recent example of a team that's done that and had great success.
And go ahead.
Oh, and I get wanting to try to play like the Diamondbacks, the National League champions, and you saw the exciting brand of baseball that they brought to the table in the playoffs. But you have to crawl before you walk. The White Sox are a station-to-station type of team where – you have a superstar that can do the things that Pedro is espousing, but do you really want to? Do you want to have that guy on the bases, firstly exposing himself to outs, exposing himself to injuries, which he has gotten hurt on multiple occasions while stealing bags? And so this is a thing where, yes, I love the idea of being a more aggressive team, but I think this team, with the personnel that they have currently, are just going to be running to outs, a lot of two plans instead of being successful like a Corbin Carroll or Alec Thomas or Lourdes Gurriel, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and but again, like, it's laying the groundwork. You know, maybe they'll suck in 2024, but as my guy, Alex Rude, pointed out, only Luis Robert, Eric Fetty, and Andrew Benintendi are under guaranteed deals for $40 million next year. So there's going to be a lot of money to spend on players that maybe could steal those bags and maybe could get on base, and then Luis Robert maybe turns into more of a masher type and is just using his speed to get, from home to second on doubles and maybe getting home from Aloy driving him in. I don't know.
Who's the third base guy? Is it Rodriguez still?
I don't know what you're talking about. What?
Who's the third base coach? Is it Rodriguez still?
Vinny's nodding.
Eddie Rodriguez? Okay. You got to be more aggressive then, I guess. But he wasn't good last year either.
That's what they're talking about.
He was not good last year on those sins.
You got a grade on Eddie Rodriguez?
It was better than the last year of Super Joe, but I didn't think he had situation, person coming up, person running the bases in mind. I think he sent Yasmani Grandal home a couple times. I was like, what are we doing? Like, being aggressive is fine, but also running into outs, not fine.
Hey, Yasmani had conviction, so, he was sending them. Hey, why not? But anyways, the guy that is bringing over that way from the Diamondbacks is Josh Barfield. Vinny was able to catch up with Josh Barfield and ask him, how were the Diamondbacks able to take advantage and play this aggressive brand of baseball in 2023?
With some of the new rules as far as like shifting and disengagements and things like that, you get rewarded for being more aggressive, being more athletic, right? I think it's a competitive advantage, and I think that's something that we saw in Arizona with the players that we drafted, the athletic guys like the Alec Thomas, the Corbins, McCarthy's, guys like that, and you saw it play out on the field last year. I think you just continue, you put pressure on teams, just having multiple ways to go out and beat a team. It's so difficult to go out there and just try and outscore them every night or outpitch him every night. Like, just you're gonna have your ups and downs always, but you can always play good defense and be athletic out there on the field, and you can always push, whether it's taking that extra base, just putting pressure on opponents, on pitchers. If they're 3-2, I don't want to walk this guy because I know a walk might turn into a double and things like that. It just it brought an element that we were lacking there in Arizona prior, and something that you know, it's kind of been lacking here. And you kind of see with some of the guys that we've acquired and some of the guys that will be coming up through the system and, you know, starting to make their debuts, I think hopefully that's something that we can implement here.
Is that something that you kind of voiced to Chris when you got here, or was it kind of just everybody was like, yeah, we need to be doing that kind of thing?
Yeah, no, I think we were both on the same page when we started talking about it, because obviously, like, at the time as I was coming over and we were having those conversations, you're watching it play out in the playoffs, you know, and and it's really hard to go out and just go sign a bunch of guys and make $25 million a year at each position, you know, but you can find guys that can defend. You can find guys that can, with speed and athleticism, a little bit easier. And, you know, so I think we were both on the same page, just making it more of a dynamic team. And, you know, it should be a more competitive team and a team that people like to watch. You know, it's not as fun watching the station-to-station type baseball, but seeing guys taking an extra base, making a diving play in the gap and saving runs, like that's the excitement I think a lot of fans love coming to see when they watch a game.
I think it's probably pretty obvious that the guys that you brought in have that buy into that kind of thing. Right away. What about the guys who were here? You know, I mean, you've still got half the lineup is still the guys who were here last year playing the way that had played the style you played before. Is there a good buy-in from the Moncados, the Roberts, the Elois to try to get that, for them to try to play that way too?
Yeah, I think it will be. I mean, all these guys want to win, right? I don't think anybody has a good taste in their mouth after last year, you know, and it's infectious too. You know, you see one guy does it and, you know, the next guy does it. It starts to snowball, you know. So I do think hopefully that becomes a staple. I know it's something that Pedro's really passionate about too, playing that style of baseball, because that's what he came from too, you know, previously with the Royals. So, I think it'll be something that we really push in spring training and, you know, that'll carry over into the season.
We'll talk about maybe this change in style of play from the White Sox in just a second, but we want to let you know about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the latest. Oh, no, I'm not latest. I don't know how to read. Do we have a reverse sound effect?
So 3, 2, 1.
Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They are the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's extremely simple to play. I made my picks today on the Genesis Invitational and the PGA. Yeah. I know, right? I'm an expert. But I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds, making plays on Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth to have more than 4.5 shots on hole 17. That's a par 5. So I'm just thinking, you know, it's difficult to get a birdie on a par 5, and these guys aren't really having the best of days. So let's take a shot. There's also quick withdrawals, easy game plays, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what makes Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. You can even play on the Rising Stars game later tonight. Keegan Murray, more than 5.5 points. Scoot Henderson, more than 6 points. We'll see what happens tonight.
Chet Holmgren, more than 8.5 points.
I don't know who that is. Do you?
Big, tall guy for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Hey, go test it out. Check out prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO. Daily fantasy sports made easy. And we also want to let you know about our friends over at Chevy. There it is. Ray Chevrolet is sharing their best offers all month long with their auto show sales event. Make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on the savings. As one of the top selling Chevy dealers in the Midwest, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. Herbie, you ever go to the auto show?
I have, multiple times.
It's a fun time.
Oh, back in the day when we were working at the radio station, all the time. We used to broadcast from the auto show. Good times.
Vinny, the auto show, thumbs up, thumbs down, never gone? Oh man, we got to take Vinny to the auto show. Too bad you're in Arizona. But anyways, you could find those auto show sales events, or you can go find those auto show sales event at Ray Chevrolet. You can find the perfect tailgating vehicle at Ray Chevrolet because they are offering 0% financing for 72 months on new Silverados with over 100 available. And to top it all off, they're pricing over 125 vehicles under $20,000. Seriously, pricing cannot get more affordable. And everyone loves the word free. And that means all month long at Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake, you'll get a free oil change. All you need to do is mention CHGO when scheduling your oil change. Start the new year off right and schedule it by February February 29th. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Find new roads, and thankfully it's a leap year, so it's February 29th and not February 28th. So you have one more day, if you're a procrastinator like me, this month to get out to Ray Chevrolet and get that free oil change.
Would you celebrate your birthday on February 28th or the March 1st if you were born on the February 29th?
That's actually the best. Nobody here can tell me my birthday. None of my coworkers know my birthday. I'm very proud of that. If I didn't have to celebrate my birthday, I wouldn't. I'd be thrilled with a leap year birthday. 1 year where I don't have to celebrate my birthday. Mwah.
And are you only gain years when your birthday actually hits? So you just are, yeah, somebody's like 36.
16.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, you guess less than that, but yes. Yeah.
What's 36 divided by 4?
Goodness gracious, 6, right?
9.
Nine? Okay, yeah, half your fingers are seven? Cut off, so I couldn't tell.
You said 9?
Yeah, 9. Okay. How do you not know 36 divided by 4?
Didn't go to school, Vinny. That's the problem.
I couldn't tell you. Hey, Josh Barfield was number 29. Is that a segue? I don't know.
No.
But he just said that you can always play defense. You can always be athletic. You can always be aggressive. Right under the per quota projections that Pedro Grifol is printing out, I think that Josh Barfield will have like a stitched little thing of you can always play defense. You can always be athletic. You can always be aggressive. It is exciting, and it does seem like it's a unison message for this White Sox front office to play defense and be aggressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, White Sox fans shouldn't necessarily be like, you know, what a great strategy. They're going to win games by just doing that and not the other stuff that, you know, we're projecting them to be what they are for a reason. But that is certainly true, what Josh Barfield said. And White Sox fans should realize the importance of that part of the game after watching this team the last 2 years, in which they didn't play defense, in which they didn't play aggressive, in which they didn't play smart all the time. To be able to bring in a bunch of guys or just really have an emphasis on doing that kind of thing team-wide, that should improve things. It's probably not going to improve things to the level of being a playoff team in 2024, but as this front office tries to build for the future, we keep talking about them wanting to create a new identity, want to do stuff that hasn't been done here before. That's the kind of thing that you would look for, is them bringing in guys who could do that. He made that comment in that audio that you just played there, saying, kind of revealing a little bit about how you can't always just go out and spend all this money, and maybe this year, if we can judge by what the White Sox did, there might not have been that much money to go out and spend. So what did they do? They spent the little money that they did on guys who play defense, who play hard.
Well, real quick, I find it interesting that they didn't go out and spend money on Whit Merrifield as we thought. He only ended up signing for $8 million, which would have been around the Eric Fetty deal. So, you know, maybe in their range, but they decided not to do that. And I was listening to the Au Jus with Alex Rude, and they brought up Dom Smith as, you know, his name was brought up with the White Sox. I wonder, he never signed yet or hasn't found a team yet, but we see Moustakas be brought in on a minor league deal. Like, maybe, and unfortunately, that I have to ask this question to you, Herb, was Dom Smith maybe too expensive for the White Sox? Like I know that he hasn't signed yet, and maybe the White Sox still end up finding a deal, but it does seem like they've been real budget conscious.
They have been, and no, I don't think Dom was too expensive. I don't know where he's going to sign and how much he's going to sign for, but I would guarantee it was not going to be more than $8 million.
But like, I mean, even then, it's the difference between him and Moustakas signing a minor league deal.
Yeah, with a $2 million deal. Yeah, Dom's probably still looking for a major league deal and doesn't think his talents have deteriorated, where Mike Moustakas can see the writing on the wall with the last 2 years has been kind of poor for himself. So yeah, I could see that type of thinking, but I think it's also kind of, hey, let's see if this happens. If it doesn't, no harm, no foul. If it does, man, we got a bargain at $2 million. But I would have rather gone out and get something a little bit more assured. Like, Dom Smith would have been a better option for the White Sox than Mike Moustakas. I think he's a better player currently than Mike Moustakas. But also, Dom Smith is probably like, I want to play much more than what Mike Moustakas is probably willing to give up. And so you probably would pay him less than the $8 million than you get for Whit Merrifield, but you also get a person that's like, hey, I'm chomping at the bit. I should be playing these games in front of this guy. I should be playing games in front of that guy. I can break open this game. And so it was a smart move by the White Sox to bring in a guy that has a low risk, high reward type of thing for him in Mike Moustakas, but I don't expect great things out of him. And this whole offseason's kind of been, mediocre for them. But I just wonder, like, who is, and I know full camp hasn't started yet. There's people are all there for the most part, except for like Luis and Aloy. But who's the lieutenant? Who's the person that's going to be furthering the message of Pedro, Getz, Barfield, and all these people talking about aggressiveness, and all these older, established White Sox like Moncada and Robert and Aloy listening to him and like, get out of here, man, you type of thing. Like, who's going to be like, yeah, I played under this style, and I'll show you this is going to work for us. Is that Nicky Lopez? Is that Martin Maldonado? Like, they need somebody to further the battle standard of the guys who want to do it, because last year I'm sure Pedro didn't impress the guys who are currently in the locker room now. And to come back year two and say we're gonna play a whole different style, I'm like, hey man, you lost 101 games with us last year, why should I listen to you type of thing. And that's why I'm saying, like, yeah, it's good to talk about, but the buy-in has to happen from these players.
Absolutely it does. And we could be in a situation though where if it doesn't, these players might not be around for very long. I mean, Sean, you just talked about how there aren't even many people under contract past the end of this year. But what about those? I mean, they couldn't trade Aloy Jimenez this offseason. They couldn't trade Yoan Moncada this offseason. Maybe. I mean, there's a world. I'm just speculating, but maybe there's a world in which they would have if they could have, right? And if those guys are the ones. And again, I'm not trying to assign this to them. We haven't even talked to them about it yet. But if those guys are the ones who are not buying in, why would you keep them around if you don't have to anymore, right? I mean, and so when you're saying, who is in that clubhouse going to try to play like this? Who is going to think that this is a good idea? Well, they just changed the roster over an incredible amount to bring in guys who will do that, right? I mean, there's a reason we're sitting here talking about Nicky Lopez and Paul DeJong and Martin Maldonado and Dominic Fletcher instead of, perennial all-stars. They went out and got guys who specifically fit this bill. And is it going to mean wins? Who knows? But it might mean that they see what they want to see in the clubhouse and on the field in the way that they play. I think that is far more important than, what those guys are going to bat or how many home runs they're going to hit. Is can they deliver this type of style that the White Sox want to become the White Sox style?
Yeah, I think the new guys outweigh the old guys. So I think just the new energy will likely overtake what has been in that clubhouse. And it does seem like so far from the pitchers that we've heard from, whether it be Soroka or Kopech or Cease, or Brebbia. But Brebbia really isn't a part of the competition, though. It's that the competition and the openness of the roster, I think, again, guys can look at it and be like, if I am the best of the best that I am, if I can prove to them that I am worth something, I will make this team. There are so many open spots that it is up to me to, again, prove the past wrong and show this team that I am a major leaguer still. What we've heard consistently that, it's all about these guys proving themselves wrong. It's not about the outside. It's all about what you can have on the inside. And, too, I mean, like, you know, Moncada and Aloy and, Benintendi, I think those guys still have something to prove, too, even though they were part of the team last year. So I think they're likely to get the buy-in just because – the 26 players outweigh the manager. I know that most fans are uneasy about, like, there's a lot of people. So I think as long as you're buying in, one guy doesn't really make the difference. And that's what we've always talked about, how managers really don't matter. I mean, as long as, the strings are being pulled at the bullpen and the right guys are being put out at the right time. I mean, that's the hardest part of Pedro Grifols, like, true in-game duty job. So I don't know. It should be interesting as long as the guys buy in and stay healthy. Again, we can't control health, as we know, over the past 3 years.
Correct. Yeah. So satisfactory answers, guys. Thank you.
Oh, great. Let's move on, gentlemen, to a topic that we understand completely. Coming from Crane's Chicago Business, reported around 3:30, written by Justin Lawrence. Jerry Reinsdorf is confident the White Sox will get $1 billion in a subsidy for a new South Loop Stadium. I'm going to try to read this. I have a college degree, and I think after I read this, you will doubt that. The proposed deal would also get the city off the hook for being the guarantor of the current debt arrangement with the Illinois Sports Facility Authority, or ISFA, to pay for the 2003 renovation of Soldier Field. The ISFA is the financing vehicle that was created in 1987 to pay what is now called guaranteed rate field. The authority issued $150 million in bonds in 1989 to build the Sox a new stadium, and later issued another $399 million in bonds to pay for the renovations to Soldier Field for the Chicago Bears. Along the way, the authority has occasionally refinanced or extended the debt to overcome short-term pain. Quote, the current financing plan would pay off all of the existing debt on the Bears stadium, end quote, a source said involved in the meetings with the state and city officials. To pay for the new stadium, Reinsdorf is seeking to lay claim to the revenue from a 2% hotel occupancy tax currently used to pay for the ISFA's annual debt service for decades beyond when all outstanding bonds are currently meant to be paid off in 2034. Extending ISFA bonds over the 30 years while adding a new line of revenue to back the debt would provide the upfront capital to begin work on the new stadium at Related Midwest's The 78 site, which sits between the Chicago's River and Clark Street, connecting Chinatown to the Loop. Reinsdorf is also seeking to create a tax overlay district surrounding the proposed stadium that would capture the state's portion of the sales tax generated in the area, estimated at roughly $400 million over an undisclosed period, to be set aside to subsidize the stadium and back the new bonds. The special tax district would be redistricted to the 78 property, which currently sits vacant and does not provide any sales tax. Adding the sales tax revenue, this is almost over, to the pot would also allow ISFA to borrow more money, which a source familiar with the bonding plan said would get into the ballpark of the roughly $1.2 billion in assistance Reinsdorf is seeking to build a park with the capacity of 35,000 to 38,000 and retire the current ISFA debt. But all of that would require state approval, both to give the ISFA authority to issue bonds that extend past 2034 and to siphon sales tax meant for the state into a separate fund backing the authority's debt. So, Herb, since you watch the news every night at 10, explain to the people, because obviously I understand all of that language. I understand what's going on fully, so I don't have to explain it to you, but Herb's going to be nice enough to break it all down and make it digestible.
Not really, but it just
It
sounds like they're just Jerry's trying to have a big ass tax subsidy for himself to build that stadium, and it also takes away the big ass money that us as city people owe the city of Chicago and the IFSA, whatever that is, Illinois Sports Authority facilities thing, for Soldier Field. So it like kills two birds with one stone. But you have money. When I said initially when we're doing this, I said no new taxes, that language already sent up red flags for me. I knew something was going on that was untoward and that Jerry wanted to find a way, like he built guaranteed rate at the time, Comiskey Park number 2, and find a way for other people to finance his private building so he can make money off of that private building. It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. I don't care if my tax dollars don't go up. I don't want him to have a stadium financed by the state of Illinois. I want him to dig into his pockets and finance his own stadium. Or if he can't do that, find a financier, a bank, to loan him some money or sell the team. Because this and the appetite for giving other people money, especially billionaires, is dead. And I've seen Governor Pritzker go on record saying that he has no appetite for giving billionaires, which he is himself, money from the state to build their sports arenas. So I hope JB, when he meets with them, shuts it down immediately and says, no, that's dead on arrival. You cannot do this. I don't care if it's just the hotel tax. I don't care about all the rest of the stuff. It's garbage. Pay for your own stadium.
As Crane says, JB has yet to rule out anything until learning of the team's detailed financial plan. So he is likely to approve it, but he'll hear him out.
He won't. He won't.
No, he just said it. I mean, I'm reading what
he'll hear him. But I'm telling you, he's gone on record as I watch the news and saying he has no appetite for it, for building a stadium for a billionaire.
Yeah, we'll see.
Build your own damn stadium.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, I felt like I was listening to a textbook on tape while you were reading that.
That was great,
John.
Herb.
But,
yeah.
No, listen, it sounds to me, I'm no expert, but reading that article that you sent around earlier, it sounds to me like this would be a masterclass in moving money around. But I think the line that jumped out to me in terms of the point that Herb was making was, you know, any money that gets sent over to pay for the stadium doesn't get spent on something else in the state or in the city. And Lord knows that we've got quite a bit of things that probably should be prioritized when it comes to state and city spending over new baseball stadiums. That being said, it sounds like from that report, at least, that the idea is that Jerry would think that the amount of money that would be generated from all those businesses that you would put on that plot of land would be so enormous that it would be paid off all, you know, all instantly, that there would not need to be any more debt or anything like that. Again, I'm not claiming to be an expert in what was reported, but you have no way of guaranteeing that that's going to play out the way that people envision that it's going to play out. So I don't know. I would personally tend to be on Herb's to agree with Herb in this situation, just because the way that it was laid out, you know, if you're going to be taking money away from other governmental spending priorities, this is not something that seems like it should be one. At the same time, this is how business gets done, as we talk about when it comes to pro sports teams. All you got to do is look at the Oakland A's and the fact, you know, Herb, you say there's no appetite for this. There might not be in Chicago. There might not be in Illinois. We'll find out. But there sure is out in Nevada. You know, I mean, so like, you know, it seems to me that a lot of this stuff gets done whether folks want it to get done or not. But I'll tell you this: if you are a taxpayer and you want to read that story, you'll probably never support the building of a stadium ever again, because it does detail very lengthily how that money is being just moved around and extended. And you know, why do it at all, right? Why do it at all if it's just going to be moved around? You know, again, I'm not claiming to be an expert here, but yeah, so reading the details of something like that does get you a little bit fired up if this is not what you want to see your government money spent on.
Well, and MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred would say if the White Sox were to leave Chicago, well, there's already a team there, so who cares? You know, the Bay Area already has the Giants. They're so greedy, they want the A's too. Who cares?
If Jerry wants to move the White Sox out of Chicago for a smaller market, be my guest. But no, we're not paying this. And as Fred says, releasing this on late Friday, it's a classic Friday news dump where they know it's an unpopular thing. They know it's going to be bad, but it only gets such a short time in the news cycle where on Monday, you're going to forget about it. You're going to move on until this comes up again. So, you know, I think that he should know that this is dead on arrival. Yes, he might have somebody telling him that we can do this because he's done it before, but that appetite for spending money and to retain the White Sox, really? You think White Sox fans care about you staying in the city of Chicago? Are you going to threaten them to move to Tampa or some other city, Portland, Montreal? Bye. The White Sox fans would be like, great, I could go somewhere else. I'd be free of this team and you specifically, Jerry. So there's no leverage that he has here. Zero leverage he has here, because I mean, taxpayers would riot if they had to pay more for 30 more years. And like, who's actually going to a game at that ballpark if the team's not good? As I bring up the point, Pittsburgh, that stadium is empty, even though it's one of the best show places in baseball.
Hey, I mean, they think it's going to generate, you know, $1 billion in revenue.
And when it doesn't, who's it going to fall onto? Jerry? No, it's going to fall back onto taxpayers. When the 2% hotel tax, not enough people are coming to Chicago anymore. Well, we got to pay for this somehow. All right, here you go, taxpayers. So, you know, pay for your own stadium and make your own money. Baby, I'm fine with you making a bunch of money before you pass away.
Hey, what if it was, the 78 presented by Game Time?
I'll be all about that. I saw what you're doing there.
Yeah, thank you. You know, hey, I gotta move this show along, and I can't add anything else about tax talk. You know, we had tax talk. We're gonna move on.
When I went down to Atlanta, also a publicly funded stadium in Cobb County, which they passed that on to the Cobb County people, I bought some tickets.
Not in Atlanta. You weren't in Atlanta.
I was in Smyrna, Georgia. Yeah, in Cobb County, where the big boss man was at. So I bought some tickets there, and I wanted to check out their game time guarantee to make sure if I get a lower price some other secondary market site, that they would pay 110% of the difference. They did that. I found one. I sent the information to Game Time, and I got my money, 110% of the difference, in my account within 12 minutes. You shouldn't have to worry about buying tickets for your next big event. Game Time is a fast, easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. And with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. You can see the view from your seats before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. And the thing I like the most is the all-in prices showing your total upfront, so you know what you're getting, and it's no hidden fees on that deal at all. Let's see. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, and even an hour after the event started, is the place to go for last-minute seats. And find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with Game Time Guarantee, as I just explained, you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. And take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app today. Create an account, use code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. And Sean, did you know it's getting easier for businesses to switch to electric vehicles? That's something we can all get behind. For the health of the planet, and for the well-being of all of us who share it.
Of course I know about it. You were chatting me up about it earlier before the show. Yeah,
oh, man, we're talking about it a lot of times.
What a conversation, chatting it up. Because the electric grid is evolving to meet your cleaner energy needs as we all move with confidence towards an electric tomorrow. Whether you have one delivery van or a whole fleet of shipping trucks, ComEd can help guide you to make the changes that make sense.
So what should business owners do, Sean?
Well, Herb, they should go to ComEd.com/clean to learn more about the resources, fleet rebates, and infrastructure incentives available to help businesses go electric. Boogie, woogie, woogie. If you own a business, do not wait. Start making your plan today to switch to electric vehicles because it's good for businesses, it's good for the planet, and it's good for all of us. Go to ComEd.com/clean.
Did you say ComEd.com/clean?
You bet your bottom dollar. Go now and see how going electric connects us to a better way of doing business and a better future for generations to come. Thank you, ComEd. All right, let's get into our rotational roundup. That's what I should have called. I did not call it rotational roundup, and that's my bad. Yeah, right? We could even had a lasso sound effect. We had time to do that. That's on me. But it does seem like, Vinny, the biggest storyline so far after the first, not week, 4 days of spring training is there is going to be guys fighting for jobs, and it does seem like the biggest, you know, position that we are fighting for or that those guys are fighting for is spots in the rotation. Am I wrong?
I mean, certainly it seems that way. Certainly that's what everybody's been talking about. But I think if you look at the rotation, which we are about to do, I'm not sure exactly how many spots are open, you know, for grabs, really. Like, it sure seems like Dylan Cease is the opening day starter. It doesn't seem like it. He will be if he's still on the team. You know, Michael Kopech, I don't think Michael Kopech's going anywhere. Eric Fetty just got signed to a 2-year major league contract. And then, you know, so is it two? Is Chris Flexen going to be part of the rotation like Chris Getz said he expected him to be? Is it one spot? I mean, we'll find out, but they have stretched out 14 to 15 arms. So we'll see exactly what that competition looks like once we get to the end of next month.
We got 16 names. Let's show that first group, because the only name that Vinny didn't mention that's on it is Touki Toussaint. You bring up, you know, what spots are truly available. That yellow, the number, or the reason why those
the gold.
Five, yeah, the gold, why those five names are in gold is because those are the guys currently in the rotation, and Pedro was seemingly clear that it would be a five traditional man rotation. If anyone is to be knocked out, I think it is to be, you know, because Flexen isn't up to snuff and maybe they think he's better in a rotational role, like you made, like you brought up. Maybe Soroka's health continues to be an issue and he's not able to make the opening day rotation. I think Toussaint has shown enough of a resume to be a starter that they would probably trust him in a pinch the most in that bullpen. So I think those are the six guys that, hey, you know, if everything goes well health-wise, that's going to be the five: Cease, Fetty, Kopech, Soroka, and Flexen in the rotation. And Toussaint is your, you know, auxiliary in case of emergency. We need a starter. You know, someone gets injured. You know, the time that Johnny Kopech came out and Johnny Cueto came out of the bullpen to fill in for Michael Kopech, who got injured. So a little that's spot start there. And then I think you know, Dylan Cease was warming up in the bullpen and everyone had an aneurysm. Anyways, am I wrong about those six names, Herb?
I mean, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Flexen, I think, would be the one, like you said, because he has more recent experience of being out of the bullpen than any of the other four guys above him. But, yeah, I think those five guys would probably be, the right now, if we're talking about going to opening day, those would be the five-man rotation with, you know, I know on the next thing you're going to have Nick Nastrini. I think he's chomping at the bit to get there, but it'll take a monster effort in spring training and probably somebody getting hurt for him to get into there.
I don't know about somebody getting hurt, but I think you're right. If he has an impressive spring, and that's why he's number seven, he's right there. He's on the precipice. I think if Nastrini has a good spring, there is the chance that they say, hey, he's got more, you know, potential than Chris Flexen anyways. Flexen wasn't signed to that big of a deal. We can move him to the rotation. I know everyone on White Sox Twitter is ready to make Michael Kopech a bullpen piece.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Maybe he just doesn't make it as a starter. Maybe they don't see that progression from Michael Kopech and they think that they want to give him more of a digestible you know, piece of work out of the bullpen, and Nick Nastrini makes it. Sarah, feel free to flash out group two. Nastrini's at seven. Jared Schuster's at eight, because I think he's along the same lines of Nastrini making MLB starts with the Braves last year. He's got something to prove. I don't know if he's a guy, but if these guys have,
and he's,
you know,
a good, lefty too, right?
Yeah, he's a lefty. So
that kind of works in his favor.
If these guys have good springs, maybe if everything falls the right way, they get a spot in the opening day rotation. If things don't go right for them, but they still need a guy, Jesse Schultens, come on down, no?
Yeah, he's got a master's degree now, doesn't he?
He's just got a master's degree now. The White Sox shared all these fun facts. He's now got a master's degree in accounting. So shout out to
I'll see if Jesse Schultens can weigh in on stadium financing.
Jesse Schultens, yeah. Oh, that'd be great. He'd be a wonderful expert there.
And to do some taxes, too.
Should I share these? Because these were all pitchers, too. The White Sox had fun facts on their social, on their Twitter. We'll get back to the rankings in a second. On their Twitter and TikToks. Jake Eater is ambidextrous. Tanner Banks would spend all of his time in the mountains if he could. Kai Bush can play the piano. Dylan Cease co-owns two disc golf courses. Jesse Schultens has a master's degree in accounting and got it this offseason. Nick Nistrini, who's 7 on this list, likes the ocean. Davis Martin has a brand new elbow. Eric Fetty is from Las Vegas. And Joe Barlow has 10 siblings. Did you guys have a favorite fun fact that stuck out?
I don't know if any of those qualify as fun.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
Well, I think that was honest.
True facts.
If you watch it, Michael Kopech has to come up and do Dylan Cease's fun fact. And I think Dylan is on the same length or mind wave that we are on. And it was like, this is a stupid exercise. This is dumb. And he's like, people already know that I own disc golf courses, right? Like, I don't even think he thinks of that as like a fun, quirky fact anymore, because he probably talks about himself at an inordinate amount that anyone else does. Like, how many times are you addressing the media after your days of work, Vinny?
Never. Nick Nistrini likes the ocean? Is that a fact?
Hey,
I guess.
I guess. I like the ocean as well. Hey, you never fall into a shipwreck hole on YouTube? I've been there.
Hey, Vinny, you have a new hiking partner out there. Didn't somebody spend time in the mountains?
Yeah, Tanner Banks.
Your guy, Tan Banks. You can go out there and battle some scorpions,
he's from
some snakes.
He's from the great state of Utah. He was mountain raised, I think.
So is Kai Bush. Kai Bush and his caterpillar mustache. Anyways, let's move on. Kai Bush is on this list. Let's go back to the list. Oh no, we got to go back to the second one. I didn't finish it. My bad. So Jesse Schultens, I think if he is, you know, if they really are in a pinch, Tuki Toussaint's not working out, maybe they need two guys in case of emergencies. Schultens is 9th. At 10, Jonathan Cannon. They said 15 to 16 arms are being stretched out. I don't think it's likely. I think it's, you know, probably like a 2% chance Jonathan Cannon has that good of a spring to make it into the rotation, but it's there. Maybe Chad Kuhl has really found some extra velocity. He's our 11th pitcher. Maybe he's found some extra velocity and he can be there in the rotation if the Sox, you know, don't like Chris Flexen enough. Chad Kuhl has major league experience. Maybe I should even have Chad Kuhl a little bit higher just because of that experience. At 12, I have the ambidextrous Jake Eater. He's in camp. I kind of forgot he was in camp, and then that social video reminded me that he was in camp. He seems to still need a lot of work, and he didn't really have that impressive of a time down in Birmingham, and I know he's been kind of aggressively pushed in Miami. It seems like Jake Eater, even though he is highly thought of prospect-wise, still needs a little bit more seasoning in the minor leagues, and I think we're really getting to the point at Jonathan Cannon at 10 that these guys, you know, are real fringe spots, as I think Vinny is being
harassed. Might as well kick Vinny out.
Yeah.
Hey, security guard, leave Vinny alone. But, yeah, I think that Jake Eater is just coming off of Tommy John, so it's slowly – we got to say goodbye to Vinny.
Bye,
we'll
Vinny.
See
thank you for your
weekend.
Work.
Tell that security guard, go scratch. What a jerk.
Yeah, seriously.
I think that Jake Eater – I'm not counting last year. You can't record down here and have a good time.
Okay, here. Here's what I have to say. Here's what I have to say. And this is respectfully. This is respectfully.
He was trying to move him out earlier.
He's been there for 3 hours this week. Where you been, buddy? Were you not doing your job? Is Friday that big of a deal? I mean, Vinny's been at that
pool. They're about to set up a DJ booth right there.
Maybe it's the DJ.
And he's like,
yeah. Maybe it's David Guetta.
It's 3:57 in Arizona. I guess.
Give us the 3 minutes of Vinny.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, I think Jake Eater, if you're a White Sox fan, you're thinking about Jake Berger. I got it. It hurts that he's down there in Miami doing his thing. And you're looking at Jake Eater's like 11 ERA last year in Birmingham. You're like, well, this guy sucks. Give him this year. Let him go down to Birmingham again, and if he succeeds, go to Charlotte and do his thing. So I don't think he has any chance of making the rotation unless something catastrophic happens
or
to these White Sox.
Unless Jake Eater looks sick.
Nah.
unless he looks disgusting.
Nah.
Pumping 98, an 89 mile per hour slider from hell. There's this kid from Duke. College baseball started today. I forgot his name already, but he threw a changeup. He's a left-hander, and it's a changeup, and you look at it, and you're like, oh, that's a curveball. Like, it is the most disgusting thing that I've ever seen. So if Jake Eater starts throwing that pitch, hey, maybe he makes the major league roster. Let's go to the final people. 13, Garrett Crochet, 14, Kai Bush, 15, Jake Woodford, and 16, Shane Drohan. Will Shane Drohan even make the White Sox roster on opening day? I think it's unlikely, and I think they will likely send the Rule 5 draft pick back to Boston. Woodford really does seem to be a reliever at this point if they can get anything out of that arm, but if anything, I think he can just provide depth at a minor league level. And then 13 and 14, along with Eater, it's the guys with potential. Eater has more of a base of being a starter. Kai Bush has more of a base than being a starter than Garrett Crochet. But, you know, I think those guys are kind of all in the same bucket. Eater a little bit ahead of Crochet and Bush. I think Crochet already being at the major league level is a little bit ahead of Bush, but I mean, I would be pretty disgusted if either of those guys or any of those three are in the White Sox rotation on opening day.
Especially Garrett Crochet. Like,
yeah.
I think their plan doesn't have enough thought into it. They should be just telling Garrett, you're either a reliever on the White Sox major league staff or you're going to be a starter in the minor leagues. To be on the fence on both of those things, to me, doesn't work for the player or yourself, because you're giving him false hope that he can make this rotation, where we just went through the list. It'll take a lot for him to make the rotation. Even if he pitches the best spring training he can do, he hasn't been stretched out. He has never pitched over close to 100 innings ever. So what are we doing with him? You should have a solid plan for him that says you are preparing to be a reliever on the White Sox. We don't give a goddamn if you want to be a starter. Prove to us this year you're a good reliever, and maybe next year, and maybe during this year, we could stretch you out appropriately over 6 months, so next year you can hit the ground running in 2025.
And that's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. First of all, we want to thank that security guard for kicking out.
Lurking.
I was spotted him, and I knew something was going wrong.
Yeah.
He walked by Vinny twice. Yeah. Why would you walk behind him twice?
Took him 20 minutes to get him. I don't get
maybe
it.
Maybe they brought backup.
Maybe. Honestly, for Vinny, I mean, Vinny, we know Vinny's muscle. Do we have to bail him out?
We have to bail out Vinny. Send money to us so we can bail Vinny out.
Produced by Sarah today. Thank you very much, Sarah. Sarah's also going to go call Ryan Herrera to go bail out Vinny. I'm Sean Anderson. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow us at @CHGO_White Sox, @EcknerWall23 for Herb, @Sean_W_Anderson. Make sure you're liking the video on the way out. Make sure you're subscribing to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. And to answer blank names in the question, can Garrett throw a changeup? We've seen a fastball slider combo from Garrett mainly, and he has flashed a changeup. I know that that's something that they've talked about this year, is him working on that pitch mix and being a third a three-pitch pitcher. You know, I mean, he's going to find that in an offseason? I don't know. He's thrown a changeup before. Is it major league level?
Oh.
I'd say no. I'd give it probably a 40 grade, and that's honestly being nice. Maybe a 35 grade, 50 being average. I don't think it's that good. But we'll see. Hey, maybe he's worked on the changeup from hell, and that 6'6 freak can strike out people for the White Sox. I wouldn't be mad at it. Anyways, and I say freak respectfully. That's Herb Lawrence. I'm Sean Anderson. Thank you to Vinny Duber. Read his piece at allchgo.com about the White Sox adapting that Diamondbacks way. We will talk to you on Monday at 5 p.m. Goodbye.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.